Turntable Topics brings you compelling interviews with amazing people from around the world, highlighting the creative excellence of musicians, artists, singers, authors, and entrepreneurs. Hello, viewers. Welcome to another edition of Turntable Topics. Let me go through just a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. If you're watching this on YouTube, or even if you're on the site, click the little YouTube button so you're taken over to the Storm Vibes Radio YouTube channel. You want to be sure and click the little live notifications bell that's down there. So when we go live with these great interviews, artists, musicians that we're talking to, you'll get the live notification. Also, go ahead and click the little subscribe button. That way you're welcomed into our community and a part of the Storm Vibes Radio family. Tonight, I have here with me in studio, Mr. Joshua Davies. What we're really going to talk about and highlight about Josh tonight is his company, Netra Entertainment, and the wonderful things that his company is doing out in the community to help instill music and, you know, just keeping kids busy, occupied, and giving them something positive to work towards. So sitting behind that keyboard is Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up?
I'm doing well. So if you could just give them a little preview of what they're going to get at some point in the middle of the interview.
Just a little bit.
Just a little snippet.
I got
it. So, and we'll some point get in there. I'm going to make sure to jot down if you're needing a pianist or for any type of event, we'll see if maybe Josh travels and does that sort of thing. So we're going to bring him around front and center, and we're going to dive in because I really want to know more about this amazing musician, producer, and all of the wonderful things that this young millennial is doing. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on? Glad to be here. I'm glad to be here.
I am so glad to have you. I'm telling you, you're just amazing. And it's just, I can't wait to get into the nuts and bolts of this and find out a little bit more. But first, if we could, you know, let the viewers know, who is Joshua Davies?
Oh, man, Joshua Davies. I am a simple guy. I love music. I love my family. I love to have fun. I love God. Born and raised in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. 29 years old. I actually just celebrated my birthday last week, August 2nd. So I am excited, you know, just about life and what's in store for us. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll send you belated happy birthday wishes. I know most people say, you know, happy belated birthday, you know, but your birthday itself isn't belated. So my wishes are belated.
Hey, I'm getting old. Getting up there.
Let's not even go there. So how did you get involved in music?
In music. So funny story. So when I was 5, my parents signed me up for piano lessons. Randomly signed me up. I didn't really show an interest in music. It wasn't anything that I really picked up to. They put me in gymnastics and I was hurting myself trying to do a cartwheel. So they said, we're going to take you out of that. We're going to try to find something that's a little more safe. So I guess they thought the piano would be a little bit more my area. I guess I don't know what they were thinking. But so they signed me up. I didn't really like it at first. They used to have to force me to practice. They bought me a keyboard where I could record on it. So what I would do is they would say, Josh, go practice. So I would go in the living room and I would be quick enough to like learn what I was supposed to be practicing and record it. And what I would do is I would record it on a keyboard, and they would be in another room. They wouldn't know what was going on, but I would just record it and play it back and go play video games or something. So they would hear the piano going, they would hear the keyboard going, and think, oh, man, that boy sounds good. He's good. And they would come back and playing the keyboard. So I was getting more trouble for that. But literally, that was like the cycle. I did everything I could to not practice because I didn't like it. And then when I was about 9 or 10, I started playing in church, originally Church of God in Christ in of Marlboro, Maryland. It's a church I grew up in. And I started seeing the power of music and how, you know, music can literally move people. And you can play something and somebody who was hurting, you know, before, and they're like soothed by it. So I gained interest then during that time. So that helped me to kind of study more. I then went to for high school, jump back in middle school. There was an art school called Thomas Pullen Middle School, and I tried to get into that school. I auditioned, and I didn't make it. And I was like, you know, at this time, I was really getting interested in it, and I was really like, you know, looking to really grow, and I didn't make it in. That was so discouraging for me. I remember I cried. I cried, you know, because I didn't get in. And so I kept going, though, kept pushing, and Duke Ellington School of the Arts is a world-renowned school in the D.C. area. Dave Chappelle, comedian, went to this high school, and it's a lot of great people come out of there. But I auditioned again. Well, I auditioned for this high school, and I got in. And this school opened so many doors for me as an artist, not only just learning, but I got a chance to play with a lot of different people. Stevie Wonder, Gloria Estefan, Herbie Hancock, Wynton Marsalis. I learned how to play jazz. I was, you know, really dive into classical music, and it was really just a great learning experience. You're dealing with, you know, so many different types of people, artists, dancers, you know, actors. So it was an interesting dynamic. It was culture shock for me, because I was from a small town in of Marlboro, Maryland, then you go into D.C. where it's like an artist and personalities, but it was a great experience. And then after that, I went to Berklee College of Music. I got a scholarship there in Boston, Massachusetts. And that was just like a life-changing experience where I really just got a chance to learn and really jump into what I wanted to do as a career. So by then, it was just like full-blown. My love for music and my desire to really make it in this industry was really full-blown at that point.
Well, I'm so glad, you know, after your discouraging event when you didn't get in, and that reminded me of, and I'm a music major myself. Yeah, I majored in it. I got started with it from like fifth grade on forward, and then decided, okay, this is what I want to do, and stepped away from it. But as you can see, the music always calls you back when that's what part of makes your heart beat, you know, so it ended up calling me back. But your story reminded me of Nina Simone. She really wanted to be the first classical African-American pianist. And when she wasn't selected to do that, she was really discouraged. But because she kept going, I mean, she has some beautiful music out there. And from what I heard you just deliver in that little snippet, I'm so glad, as heartbroken as you were, that you didn't get in that school, that you kept going.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad I did.
So what made you want to move towards teaching music? Because I know once I got into it, I'm like, I can't be a music teacher. I can't. Because I saw what my director went through. I'm like, I can't do it. So what made you want to go into the teaching aspect?
Absolutely. Yeah, teaching is not easy at all. I gave my teachers a hard time. Clearly by my stories and not trying to practice when I was a kid. My teachers, they used to smack my hand, like, as a piano player, but they had a teacher, they used to smack my hands because I was messing up. It was bad. But so what got me into teaching was, actually, I've always been kind of doing it my whole life. I'm the oldest of 12 kids. Same mother, same father, boys, six girls, never a dull moment.
Kudos to mom and dad.
Yeah. No twins, no triplets. So we all play an instrument, and we all do something in the arts. So our parents had a, you know, piano teacher for us and a music teacher, but obviously me being the oldest, I had to make sure my siblings practiced and make sure they understood certain concepts. So I was always teaching a little bit, but really what got me into teaching was after I got back home from Berklee, My brother, Jonathan, who's the second oldest, he was teaching maybe two or three students piano. And when once I got back in town, he was like, hey, man, you could help me out with just teaching. It was really organic. It wasn't really anything crazy. It wasn't a business at this point. It was just he was helping out with some friends. And so I was like, cool. So what happened was word of mouth, the people who were teaching, they began to tell their friends, their family, like, hey, you know, these guys are good. You should, you know, sign your kids up, or you should sign your nephews, nieces up for lessons. And it began to grow from that point. So on Mondays and Tuesday nights, we were from like 2 p.m. to like about 10 p.m. We were just teaching. Like, we had people coming in our house. You know, we didn't have, you know, it was really just organic. It was like literally people we, you know, we didn't even really know were just coming by because they heard that they, you know, that we were teaching well. So
right.
And I mean, the way I learned was very structured. So I wanted to, when I did start teaching, I wanted to make it fun. I wanted to make it, you know, moving. So it's not so, all right, do your scales. Okay. You know, play this song in the book, but I wanted to make sure that they're learning stuff that they actually hear and that they actually want to play. So, and obviously you need to learn technique, you need to learn theory, all of that's important, but I wanted to make sure it was well-rounded. So our curriculum was very unique and very different from what most people were getting. So I think that's why people were drawn to it. But that's how it kind of started. And then what happened was people said, well, I want to learn how to play drums too. So I had a friend of mine play drums, and I called him and I said, hey man, you know, we're giving lessons. Do you want to come in and teach drums? So I had him in the living room. I had Jonathan in the kitchen. I was in the basement. And we were all just like teaching at different places. And then some people said, hey, I want to learn how to play guitar. So I called another friend of mine and said, hey, we're teaching lessons. Once you come in, I'll put you in the family room. I got a room for you in the family room. And literally, it became in my house what was the early beginnings of Metro Entertainment. So that's how the hiring began. We got clientele, and now we have grown to where we're teaching hundreds of students. We have multiple school contracts. We run different private schools, music departments. We run their whole music area. So I'm just excited, and, you know, number one, to see where we came from, and excited to see where we want to go.
Wow. So when Netra Entertainment was born out of this, what other inspirations aside from that love of music? Because I can definitely tell you have the bug, you know, it's just something about talking that has that music, but you just light up even thinking about it. So what other inspirations were behind the founding of Netra?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So there are a couple of things. Number one, I've always been interested in doing film. So, film, and then also, you know, having a record label where we can put, you know, support artists, singers, rappers, and really be able to, you know, push quality music. One of my pet peeves is, you know, especially being the oldest of 12, you know, going to whether it's movies or listening to music where everything's so vulgar or, you know, profane, and you can't, you know, the music is good, but you can't get through it, you know, because there's so much stuff going on and you can't really, you know, listen to it around younger kids or whatever it may be. So one thing that I always said that I wanted to do in building Metro was to make, develop a company where we created good content, good product, and the message was just clean. The message was encouraging, inspiring, still modern, still millennial, still 2017, whatever year we're in, 2018, whatever it is, but it's just great content, great product. So, yeah, it birthed just ideas for film, and we are actually in a process. We're working on launching the pre-production of a film that we're going to be starting on in pre-production 2018, and also the launching a record label as well. So, yeah, we're excited just about what we got going on.
So I'm definitely going to have you back and go ahead and confirm that now once record label and everything is in place, because, you know, I definitely want to talk about that some more. And when you mentioned film, that really struck a chord with me, no pun intended. But a lot of the artists that I talk to and do the consultations with, I try and explain to them, it's not all the time, it's not about getting their album and getting it, you know, in the hands of as many fans, and they get discouraged when it's not selling on iTunes or when their music, people, they're posting their link, buy my CD, buy my music. And I try and explain to them, film. Do you know how many companies are looking for pieces like what you played in the opening for music, that little 30, 40 seconds? So if you could kind of expand on that, if you don't mind, if we could spend a few minutes in that area.
Absolutely. So this is a different age. 2017 is the age of number one, social media, and number two, where there are so many different outlets for getting your music out. Like you said, film, there's so many, you know, social media, there's so many people just that's getting big off social media by making 1 minute videos, and it's going viral. But then also you're your own brand as well. So I think that, you know, really just exploring the times and exploring, doing research on the trends is so important, because the reality is 2017, there's, you know, obviously you can do a lot of different stuff now, but 2 years from now, it may change a bit. Like, no one knew that streaming music, Apple Music, Spotify, all these different streaming sites would be so big and so prevalent now. But I think that, you know, doing research on what you can do with the different outlets to get your music out is so, so important for actually being successful in this industry. It's the Wild Wild West. It's just crazy.
It really is. And like one of the things that I've been spending a lot of time, and I've been finding some good singers on and musicians, is the Musical.ly app. And I see people, they use it as more so of a toy pastime, but I'm like, do you know that you can build your brand around that? You can use these apps like the Musical.ly or the Live.me or even Periscope to feature your music on.
Yeah. And you know, another thing too is if you look at the, like I've been looking at like Billboard.com, which kind of, they obviously have the top songs that are in the US and on pop. R&B charts. If you look at the number one songs, you know, like for example, the Ray Shrimmer song where everyone was doing the mannequin challenge. Everyone loved the mannequin challenge in that video, being able just to stay still. You know, everybody was doing it. But the song behind it got so big, like because of that mannequin challenge. So even looking at ways that you can pair your song with, even, you know, a challenge that everybody can be a part of, you know, and you know, I think that's so. You know, that's been, you know, really a pattern lately. Like, there's another one. What's the other? The Rollies Challenge. That's now prevalent. So, yeah, it's just, I think, you know, just doing research is so big. So,
I mean, you really can. You can go so far with social media. So I'm glad that coming from a musician, other than people's, oh, that's just Tora talking. So here, maybe with it coming from musician to you, other musicians that are viewing this, maybe it'll spark something, you know, as to what I've been trying to explain. So I'm glad we had a chance to touch on that topic a little bit.
Yeah.
And then as far as, okay, now, what was your process for founding Netra Entertainment?
My process. So I've always been interested in the business side of things. I love music and I love, you know, being able to work with different artists, but I've always been intrigued with being able to own my own company. So for me, the process was, once we kind of saw that Netra, or, you know, giving lessons was something that we had a niche in, for me, I quickly, you know, began to see, like, how can we really market it? How can we really structure this and make it grow. So the process was, I mean, obviously, you know, you want to go through the necessary business steps, and then from there, just doing great work. So what I did from there is I wanted to take, you know, the way that we teach in our curriculum, I wanted to take it to every school in the area. So what I did was I started with private schools. And obviously, a lot of private schools, unfortunately, are letting, you know, their arts programs are not really, you know, existing at all.
Right.
So my first target. So I went to a lot of private schools and met with them and said, hey, I know that this is, you know, an area where you all want to see grow, but you all may not have the funds to do it. Let me and my team come in. We'll come in and provide a quality service and provide an affordable price. Obviously, at that time we were me and my team were a lot younger. So, you know, we were just hungry to get in and learn the business of it. So we just wanted to get in and kind of really just establish ourselves. But the process was just to take it by foot and just really try to, you know, get in as many doors as we could. And that really, it really proved itself to be great and worthwhile, because we were able to just establish and build a lot of relationships.
Well, and you tied in two specific words that stood out: music and business. People often don't balance the two out, and you have to realize it is the music business. So I really like that you're just sinking all my points here tonight. So, you know, for you viewers, you know, and people that I've been stressing this to, so I really, really like that, because they both go hand in hand. One can't I think that, you know, it has to be balanced, and you have to know both sides of it, your music and along with handling your business aspect of your music on this side.
Right. And another thing with that too is I think a lot of artists, you know, are very free spirit. So a lot of times we don't have like the business sense to really even know what the next step is. But I think it's important to meet or work with somebody who does have that, so that you're able to be free in your element. Because sometimes when you try to do something that's not necessarily your sweet spot, like for example, if you're an artist and you're not really good at business and you know, that's not your strength, then it makes it frustrating and you get burned out easily.
Right.
So important to have a team that's able to hold you accountable in the area too. So.
Now, what specific programming does Netra Entertainment offer and where? If you could talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So our programming is essentially what we offer as far as the support to schools, primarily in private schools in the Maryland area. We are actually, we have 8 private school contracts in the Maryland area. We're actually finalizing all the contracts now as we're getting ready for this new school year. So I don't want to jump into all the names yet.
Right.
Yeah, but we're excited just because we're offering private lessons. We're offering ensemble classes for all these instruments such as guitar, piano, drums, bass, strings. And we also offer this program that is fairly new. We started offering about 2 years ago. It's a music production class where we have students come in and they, you know, learn how to produce, write, and record their own music. So they go through the whole school year, and by the end of the year, the goal is for them to have produced their own CD.
Oh, wow. I love that. I'm making a note of that here. So maybe somewhere down the road, if you have a couple of the students, once the CDs are done, you can contact. I would love to hear their finished work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've already got some ideas for them.
Hey, I'll put a side note here, because part of the mission in doing these interviews like this, because I had no idea that was something you offer. So, and when I'm out searching for the upcoming artists, or especially the youth that are spending their time doing something positive. So for me, it would be an honor and a privilege for me to be able to highlight their hard work that they've put in, and also spotlight and say, hey, this is work that, this is some of the fruit of Netra from what, you know, Netra has put in. This is some of the fruit from that.
Absolutely.
So your team, how many people are on the team? If you don't mind telling us a little bit about the Netra team.
Absolutely. So right now we have 8 teachers, and actually some of them serve as producers as well for different projects that we have. But most of them, actually, we've been friends for years. I'm blessed to be surrounded by such a great talent of, like, talented friends. Like, I think that most people don't have that luxury of saying that. So my team is people that I've known for years that are just talented, drummers, you know, bass players, singers. I said, hey, you know, this is the project that I'm working on. I would love for you to be a part. We have the resources, you know, we have the time, and let's do it. A lot of these team members, they love what they do, and they love seeing the youth being able to learn and walk away, you know, moving forward in their passion. So, I'm blessed to have an amazing team.
Well, now with the so you said you have someone that does vocals as well along with the instrumental teachers.
Yes. Yep. So we have I have one vocal instructor. Who I sometimes use as a vocal producer as well. And so it's definitely very, you know, we offer lessons and ensemble classes on strings, vocals, guitar, bass, drums, woodwinds, just about, we cover just about every instrument, probably except for harp.
What? You chuckled on that one.
What's that? You know, there's about three harp players in the world. I'm just joking.
That's one of the instruments that I never even tried. I picked up a lot of instruments to try, but the harp, no, it's just something, no, I haven't even touched that. But now, do you have any like specific examples that you can give the audience of different projects that Netra's done?
So this is the thing, we're actually launching the label, which we haven't signed anyone yet. So I don't have any projects under the label. Obviously I've done different work on different projects. When I went to Berkeley, my major was music production and engineering and also music business. And you know, my team all produced on different stuff. But no, I don't have any, there's no projects out yet. 2018 though, you can definitely expect to see a couple of artists actually that we're planning on signing. So stay tuned.
Now, as far as like the artists, you know, with us, you know, the music and the criteria that I look for as far as music, guests, anybody that I'm bringing on, conscious, clean, promoting a positive message, like you said, something that if I want to sit down with my nieces and nephews, I don't have to worry about bleeping and editing. We can listen to a nice, clean piece of music. So for looking forward to 2018, for anybody that's watching that may want to reach out to you as far as the label, what's some of the criteria that you're going to be looking for in the artists that you work with?
So first thing is no harp sounds. No, I'm just playing. So the first thing is really I'm looking for originality. I think that, like you said, good content. I think that something that's universal. One of my model companies is Disney. I love how they, you know, they're able to match good quality with, you know, great content, and it's for the family. So it's not necessarily a specific genre, but I believe that the message is important, and I'm just looking for originality. As a producer, that's, you know, I'm looking for a fresh sound. So.
Well, so, and speaking of sound, I think this would be, I mean, we've made them wait long enough. They got a little bit in the beginning, but I think we've made them wait long enough to give them a little bit. So, you know, for somebody in that, you know, in the DC area that's watching, just to highlight, you know, a little bit of your skills and what you do with Netra. So if you wouldn't mind giving us a little something on the keyboard back there. Well, now, you know, I'm from Mississippi, the backwoods down in the Delta. Can you give me a little bit of that Mississippi Delta old school church before you leave from behind the keyboard? You know what I'm talking about?
I got you.
Not only did, you know, he found these companies, a lot of the time you're able to see what you're getting in Netra Entertainment if you're in the DC. So what areas do you service in there for any of the viewers that are in that area that want to work with you?
Yep, so I'm in the DMV area, so DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Wow, I sure wish I was up there close. I'm ready to corral all my nieces and nephews and send them that way and say, hey! Man, so what do you foresee as the next step? You mentioned the film and the record label. Are there any other things coming up for 2018 for Netra?
Well, that's the main thing. We are really excited about just launching and supporting artists through our record label. Also releasing content in our film. On the music education side and teaching, we are going to be starting online lessons as well. So that is something that people, that the viewers, if you're outside of the DMV area, that's something that you can check out and look for. So on our website, that will be posting more information about.
Greg, because I did have that down to ask if it was possible for virtual lessons, because I'm one of the, I see an instrument and I just have to have it. So a bass was one of the things that I picked up some years back. And I've learned a few things, you know, watching the YouTube videos, but from playing treble, you know, because I played the clarinet all through high school. And that's what I actually went to college on a scholarship with. So I'm used to, you know, the treble clef. So me looking at the bass clef and trying to read that, my mind just will not, I don't, maybe it's something I should have learned all at once, but now trying to read the bass, you know, bass clef music, and I'm just, it throws me all off.
Right. Yeah. Reading music is a whole nother world of itself. Yeah. So I definitely get it, especially as a clarinet player. That's you got it, though. You got it. Come on down. We got personal lessons for you. So that's what we set it up for. We got you.
Hey, I used to tell people I wanted to be the female version of Benny Goodman all the time.
That's hilarious. Nice.
Now, if you could write a narrative for how others would describe the impact that Netra has had working with the youth and going into the schools, how would you describe that?
Oh, wow. So one thing I'm very proud of is the fact that we have seen, obviously we've taught hundreds of students, and not only students, I say students, but we have students that, you know, our oldest student right now is actually 76. So we teach more than just, I guess, school age students. They obviously are students of music education, but I'm excited because we get to see high schoolers move on to college and get scholarships. So we had, even this year, we had students gotten accepted to Berklee College of Music and Full Sail University. We had scholarships given to University of Maryland, Temple University, as well as, and I'm drawing blanks, but Howard University. So yeah, we've seen a lot of different, a lot of great things in store. We've also, as the company, have given out scholarships, thousands of dollars. So I'm excited just to see not only, you know, students moving forward their passion, but that they're actually getting acknowledged by these institutions that they're good and that they're wanting. So no, I think that's proof in itself that, not only are we doing a great job, but kids, you know, our students are getting it. So
Wow, that's amazing. And so what, you said the oldest student is 76. Now, is it vocals or an instrument?
So they're actually piano students.
Well, yeah. So you're never too, you know, so it really falls in. You're never too young to start learning because you say you started at 5. And then so you're never too old to start learning at 76.
Right. Absolutely. It's never too late.
Wow. So now NETRA is just one of NETRA Entertainment. That's just one of the things that you do. And I mentioned the other one, you know, which was producing. What are some of the other things that you do outside of NETRA Entertainment?
Yep. So I'm actually the music director at a church called Zion Church, a phenomenal church. And I've been a music director for 3 years. And what that means is music director means I oversee all of the music department. So we have 3 locations, a location in Woodbridge, Virginia. We have a location in Fort Washington, Maryland. We have another location in Landover, Maryland. And so I'm responsible for just overseeing personnel, direction, vision, and everything that goes into music side of that. So
wow, now that's interesting. You know, and I'm going to jot that down because that's something in the future. I know you're busy, but also something I'd like to sit down and talk about one day when you have some time. You know, as far as like the music director, and I always laugh when I'm at church because when the music director's up and he says, "Hey, you know, come join the choir." He was like, "We have enough people up there that can sing. So if you can't sing, nobody else will know." Do you go by that same philosophy?
Wait. Say that one more time.
He says, you know, come, you know, join us. You know, he wants more people to join in with the choir. So he says, we have enough people up in that choir that can sing. So if you're not that good of a singer, it'll blend that. They'll be able to drown you out. So for me, going one of these days, I'm going to take him up on the offer and I'm going to show up at choir practice. And he may regret saying that.
That's funny. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, no.
My philosophy is I think that everybody should be able to serve definitely in church. But I think that everybody has a sweet spot, you know, and I think that everybody should try to find your sweet spot and use it the best that way, you know, whatever that is in church. I think that, you know, that I don't want to distract people that coming in, you know, they coming in and then we got somebody on a mic that can't really deliver.
right. Just give me my tambourine up there and I'm good.
That's hilarious.
Now, how does, you know, we mentioned that you did some production work on an album, on Whitney Parnell's album. Now, how does some of the other work that you do as a producer, how does it tie in with that album?
Ooh, how does it tie in? So, I think it ties in. So first of all, you know, just in the experience, one thing that I love to do is every project that I do, I get better. So I'm excited about just this work that's going to be on this project. And Whitney's just a phenomenal, phenomenal artist. I think her approach and her, you know, the way that her message behind this album is so fresh and so new that people appreciate it. But as far as the tie-in, I think that it really goes to just really, you know, trying to take pieces of everything. That the album is so diverse, different genres, different themes. So really just trying to bring different pieces of music and different pieces of people and ideas together so that it's really sonically and theme-wise able to reach as many people as we can get to.
And you worked on production of the entire album, right? Because I know I've seen some people there's, you know, have an album of 15 songs, but there may be 2 to 3 different producers that have their hand in. You're the sole producer working with the album, right?
Producer.
Wow. So I can't wait to hear the finished product. You know, and again, I have to extend my thanks, y'all. I've been so enjoyed this conversation. I've learned so much more about you. This is the second time that we've come together and sat down. Maybe you can finally help me get that, knock the dust off that bass and somebody help me get it under control.
I got you.
At least learn a couple of little chords. Get to feel like I'm doing a little something.
Right. We'll have another bass player actually playing, but you just look like you're playing at the concert. We got you.
Hey, that'll work. I just stand there and look good, just real smooth.
Right. There you go.
Now, if people want to work with you, if you can give the website where they can reach you, if there's a specific email address, what's the best practice way for them to get with you? And I know you're a busy guy, so what's the easiest way for them to contact you that you would be able to get back with them?
Yep, check us out at metraentertainment.com. Metraentertainment.com. N-E-T-R-A entertainment.com.
I have so enjoyed this. And if there are any last things that I might have missed that you definitely want to touch on and put out there to the viewing audience.
I think you covered it all. I think you did a great job. I'm just excited to be here. So I think you did a phenomenal job. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be on here. Be family now. I just want to say, check out What Will You Do, the album. That's the next project coming out. You're going to love it. And I got a special guest for you. Whitney is here. We're finishing up some work. So, world, go check out the What Will You Do album featuring Whitney Parnell. It's her album. Worked on it. It's amazing work. I'm so excited. You're going to love it. It's on MySpace. It's on Facebook. It's on iTunes. It's on all of that. Black Planet. Whatever you need is there. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Especially go to MySpace since everybody goes to
that. You're going to appreciate it. It's fresh. It's new. Like I said, it's on MySpace. It's on Facebook. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify, Pandora, all that stuff. You're going to love it. Check it out. And thank you so much, Dora. It's a pleasure being here.
You're welcome. And I really appreciate you, you know, taking your time out of your ever so busy schedule tonight to stop in and spend some time with me. And viewers, as I always say, remember, hit that notification button so you'll know when we do the album launch that's coming up in September on the What Will You Do album that Josh was the sole producer on, along with Whitney Parnell on that social justice album. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. And as I always say, walk good, do good, be good. Tornado and Josh, we're out.
You're listening to Storm Buzz Radio. The music don't get better than this.